This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
I'm singing in the rain, just singing in the rain. What a glorious feel, and I'm happy again. I'm laughing at clouds so dark up above. The sun's in my heart, and I'm ready for love. Let the stormy clouds chase everyone from the place. Come on with the rain, I've a smile on my face. I'll walk down the lane with a happy refrain, just singing, singing in the rain.
Hey, good morning. Are you singing and dancing in the rain? Well, get the hell inside. It's cold out there. Here we are in Tampa Bay, and it feels like we're in Boston or something? It's been very cold and wet. Well, good morning anyway, and welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, along with the very dry and dapper Big Ed Davis. We thank you for joining us. It is Wednesday, January the 26th already. In a few minutes, Paige Gilliard of the Pacific Legal Foundation is going to be with us, and we are going to talk about the Supreme Court's taking up an Idaho couple's water rights dispute with the federal government. The Pacific Legal Foundation is involved in it, and Paige Gilliard is actually one of the attorneys involved in the case with the court. So stay tuned for that. And Florida is closing all monoclonal antibody treatment sites as the FDA, the Food and Drug Administration, limits the use of treatments other than what's on their preferred list. We're going to talk about that and other things with the proprietor of the Barber Poll, who's very much in favor of these alternative treatments, along with our governor, by the way, Ron DeSantis. So stay tuned for that. Andrew Ceresi will be with us. And is the vice tightening on Anthony Fauci? New emails seem to show a cover-up in how COVID-19 was released upon the world. Fauci is involved, apparently. We're going to take a look at that as well. And in our ultimate top 10, they've come out with one of these new lists. So whenever I see it, I always think it's worth bringing up the top 10 least corrupt countries as of right now. So stay tuned for that as well. By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop. It's located in Dunedin. And guys, you want to get the best haircut for the best price? Let me tell you where it is. It's in the Overcash Plaza on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580 Main Street in Dunedin. Call for your appointment. 727-733-3773. Well, will he or won't he? What's Putin up to as he congregates more troops around the Ukrainian border with Russia? Russia's top diplomat today promised to take appropriate measures if the response by the West to Russia's, what he calls Russia's security demands, is not found to be constructive. The U.S. agreed with Russia that it would answer questions regarding the NATO presence in the region. Now, the Kremlin says the West is expanding militarily. They're using this as an excuse, apparently, to build up their troops on the Ukrainian border, that somehow there's a military expansion going on, and it's raising security concerns for Moscow. This is just this is an alibi, is it not? He wants to take back at least the eastern portion of the Ukraine, one way or the other, it sounds like. Here's what the Russian foreign minister said. His name is Sergei Lavrov. If we do not receive a constructive answer from the West on our security demands, Moscow is going to take appropriate measures. I see. Appropriate measures by taking control of another country. That's appropriate measures to them. They want a guarantee that the Ukraine does not join NATO. That's what they want. And I don't think it would make much difference, but they still want that portion. If you look on a map, you can see how there is a sea that runs through the Ukraine, and on the eastern side of it, it's it's easy to use that as a border ending because of that sea there. And they want to take control of everything to the east of that sea. That's what I was hearing the other day from a so-called expert on this situation in the Ukraine. But the problem is, I don't think any of this would have been done under Trump. I don't think he would have tried this under Trump. He being Putin. I think it's, let's be honest, I think he sees a weak president right now, a guy that doesn't really know what he's going to do, in Joe Biden. And that's why he is striking at this point. So it's a dangerous, dangerous situation. In the meantime, I saw this story. Apparently Fox News has a camera and a reporter that have filmed large numbers of single adult men being dropped off by bus, processed, and sent to the airport after crossing the border illegally near Brownsville, Texas. Doesn't that completely go against the so-called rules of entry? These are all single adults being released, almost all of them men. No children, no family units. Now, single adults supposedly are supposed to be expelled from the country, but that's not going on down there. This is Bill Malugin, who is a Fox News reporter. He said, "We followed their taxi cabs, and those migrants were just dropped off at the airport to fly around the country. They went to Atlanta, Houston, and Miami. Probably in the middle of the night, right? Now, we talked to a couple of them," he said. "He said they were going to Atlanta, Houston, and Miami. They had just crossed illegally, and they had paid the cartels $2,000 to do so." So here we go. Why are they doing this? Why are they doing this? One would think, when you hear this, that they're actually trying to corrupt our system of government by doing this. It just doesn't make any sense. Anyway, let us take our break. And when we come back, Paige Gilliard is going to join us. We're going to talk about the Supreme Court reviewing an Idaho couple's water rights issue with the federal government.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Guys, a well-groomed appearance is the first thing people will notice about you after a stop at the best barbershop in Tampa Bay. Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin is that very place, and they've specialized in the art of men's haircutting for decades. They're located in the Overcash Plaza, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive. Andrew's Master Barbershop, open Tuesday through Saturday. Just call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
caregivers find the support they need on Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver. Heard every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m., Linda and her caring and knowledgeable guests will bring you education, information, and resources, as well as a shoulder for caregivers. That's Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver, where you can find help and hope every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on a Wednesday. It's a wet and cold Wednesday, by the way. We've had several straight days of cold weather here in Tampa Bay. I kind of like it. I'm glad we're getting the rain, as a matter of fact. We are delighted to have Paige Gillier join us. She is an attorney with the Pacific Legal Foundation, and she is directly involved in a case that pits an Idaho couple against the federal government and its Clean Water Act. Apparently, this thing has been going on, Paige, for what, about 15 years, and it's finally gotten to the Supreme Court. Would you mind giving us a little bit of a background on this case, which is here a Sackett, I guess, Sackett versus the EPA?
Yeah, absolutely. So as you said, the case is Sackett versus Environmental Protection Agency. And this case really is a prime example of how regulatory overreach impacts the lives of everyday Americans. So what's happened here is the last 15 years, the Sacketts have been battling the EPA over the right to build their dream home on their own property in an otherwise built-out residential subdivision located in Priest Lake, Idaho. So how do we get here? We got here because EPA has taken the position that the Sackett's property contains federally protected wetlands, which under the Clean Water Act would require them to get a federal permit before they could build on their property. So for the last 15 years, we've been fighting EPA over whether or not they need to get a permit to build their dream home.
Wow, 15 years. And
15 years.
These poor people aren't going to be around to celebrate the building of their second home, no matter if they win or lose here, if we don't get something settled. Now, the Pacific Legal Foundation, and you yourself are directly involved in this, right?
That's correct, and we've been with the Sackett since the beginning.
Wow. So they want to build a second home. What's going on? Is there some sort of a pond or a lake or what on their property? Why can't they just build a second? What is the federal government saying? What is the water situation or whatever, the wetland situation they're talking about?
Well, I would say it's actually a lack of a water situation, which is why we've been here for so long. So according to EPA, essentially occasionally damp land next to any amount of water, no matter how insignificant, is subject to their federal control. Now, we believe that is a gross overreach.
Okay.
So if you were to stand on the Sackett's property right now, you would not see water. You would not see a surface water connection to any other water body or anything that you would recognize as something that, hey, the federal government could control that.
Mm-hmm. Is it like mushy or something? I mean, do ducks walk across it? Or why has the federal government taken such an interest in this particular area, this piece of property? Is it next to a larger mass of wetlands or something?
The property is separated from a lake by a road and another row of houses. It is nowhere near this lake.
Okay.
But the government is saying, hey, it's in this general area that is occasionally wet. We think that your property, regardless of the fact that all other properties around you are built out and have homes on them, could potentially impact this lake ways away from you.
Now, they want to build a second home on the existing property. Is that correct?
No, not a second home.
Oh.
It would be their dream home. It's the home they've always wanted to build.
Oh, okay. So they would like, they're not building, they won't have two homes on the property, just their dream home.
It's the dream home.
Oh, okay. So they're already there in a house.
No, they haven't been able to build at all.
Oh, I see.
They're living off the site because EPA has said, you know, don't touch this.
Okay.
We're unable to build on this property without our permission.
Okay.
And, you know, the consequences for building without a permit are quite severe under the Clean Water Act. Those range from fines, which can be tens of thousands of dollars a day, to criminal prosecution.
Mm-hmm. May I ask this? Of course, we don't know anything about the couple. They seem to be very stubborn. Wouldn't it have been easier just for them to say, okay, we'll look for another area to build our dream home?
You know, I'm sure that would have been the easier option, but when you're faced with, gross government overreach, the really courageous thing is to stand up to that, and that's what's happened here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does sound like they've got, it's become a principal issue more than anything else. Now, they must have spent a lot of money. They've been in court for a long time, since 1987, or something like that, right? And up until now, have they made any progress? Where does all of this time go? Do they just, everything get, nothing gets resolved and another court date and,
Well, Pacific Legal Foundation is representing the Sacketts free of charge.
Oh, okay.
In this issue, we don't think the government can regulate something just because it wants to.
Okay. So you're actually taking over so that they don't have to spend any additional money on attorney's fees and everything.
Correct.
Oh, that's good. So we've got a very conservative court right now. It certainly has changed since 1987. What are the prospects? Do you think you're going to be able to do better with this 6-3 conservative majority?
You know, making predictions at the Supreme Court is always a bit tricky, but I do think the court is very well positioned to rule in our favor. We really believe in this case. The facts are solid, and there really isn't a reason for the Supreme Court not to give us the result we want.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with Paige Gilliard. She is an attorney involved in a particular case here. The Supreme Court and a water rights issue involving the Sacketts and the Environmental Protection Agency. So this is involving the Clean Water Act. Now, this Clean Water Act is kind of a scourge for a lot of property owners, isn't it? I mean, there have been some really pretty ridiculous situations that they have in which, from what I've heard, they've declared wetlands for things that are, normally, common sense would say you don't have to protect that area. It's on a person's property. They'll probably take good care of it. It's their property, blah, blah, blah. Probably a lot of that going on with this particular Clean Water Act, right?
Oh, that's exactly right, and that's the case we have here. We have a piece of property in an otherwise built-out residential subdivision. It's not connected to any other water, and the federal government is still saying, hey, this has wetlands on it. It needs to be protected. You need a permit if you even want to consider building.
Mm-hmm. Now, the Supreme Court heard the Sacketts case before.
It did. Yes, we were at the court in 2012.
Wow. 9 years ago. 10 years ago.
Yep. Yeah, and that case involved whether or not the Sacketts could even challenge the Environmental Protection Agency in court in the first place. Originally, EPA said that you can't even challenge our jurisdiction over your property, and we mm-hmm. said, hey, that's not right.
I bet you weren't even born when this thing started.
I certainly was, but I was not
you were,
an attorney.
Yet. All right, I don't think you were an attorney, that's for sure. You must have been putting in a lot of time in this and really found out a lot about the Clean Water Act. So they heard this case before. They ruled that contrary to the EPA, the Sacketts had the right to challenge the assertion of authority over their home building project. Now the court will consider whether their lot contains navigable waters. I mean, do they have any kind of a stream running through their property?
Nope, there's no stream on the property.
You mean I can't get in my canoe and go across their property?
You definitely can't. If you were to stand on that property today, you would ask, what is this case about? There's no water here.
I just don't understand why is the federal government so intent on keeping these people from building their dream house? It almost sounds like it's a political vendetta.
You know, I think there's a fear that if the government gives here, they have to give everywhere, right? And once the government starts regulating something, they don't want to stop. But like I said earlier, just because they want to doesn't mean they can. And here, you shouldn't require the permission of the federal government to use your private property the way you see fit.
Mm-hmm. Now, I noticed that there is a case that you are relying on in this one that was before the Supreme Court, apparently in 2006, Rapanos versus the United States. You litigated that one, and a divided court left unclear which wetlands are under the federal government's jurisdiction. Now, are you going to be calling on that case as well here?
We are. We're going to be asking the court to come up with a clear rule for when wetlands are jurisdictional. Like you mentioned, that court resulted in the split decision, and that's really caused a lot of the issues in this case. We got two different tests from that case, what we call the Kennedy concurrence, which is broader, and then the Scalia plurality, which is a bit more restrictive. Mm-hmm. So we're asking the court to decide definitively, how do we determine whether this property contains wetlands subject to the Clean Water Act?
Now, the court has announced it will hear it. When do you think the actual hearings will begin in this thing?
We are still waiting on the court to give us an argument date. It could be as early as April, if not April, October.
Okay. So it will be this year. Gosh, they have a lot on their plate, don't they, right now? It's good that they are taking this one on for you as well, but they got so many other things that they are deciding. This is going to be a big year. Apparently, yeah, for the Supreme Court. Now, tell me, Paige, a little bit about, as long as we have you, the Pacific Legal Foundation does take up the plight of people in many different things. Does Pacific Legal focus on particular kinds of cases? You know what I mean? What is the philosophy of when you get involved in these kinds of things? Is it always a federal government situation?
You know, it's not always the federal government. I'm specifically in our environmental property rights practice area, so a lot of times it is the federal government. But, you know, government overreach happens at every level, from local to federal. And whenever there are individual rights, constitutional rights, being violated by the government, Pacific Legal Foundation is there to represent those individuals.
Well, that's great. That's great. So do you think we're finally going to get some resolution for the Sackets in this case this time around?
I certainly hope so.
Oh, my.
15 years is too long, so it's time.
Yeah. We want them to be able to enjoy their dream house. Hopefully.
Absolutely.
Hopefully they're on that land. So we'll keep our fingers crossed. Thank you so very much, Paige, for coming on. I hope we'll talk with you again, maybe with good news down the road on this.
Yes, thank you for having me.
All right. Paige Gilliard, Pacific Legal Foundation. We're going to take our break, and when we come back, Florida is closing all of those monoclonal antibody treatment sites. The FDA is clamping down on them. I don't think Andrew the Master Barber is going to be very happy about that.
It's right between the sound machine. On a cloud of sound, I drink in the night.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Guys, a well-groomed appearance is the first thing people will notice about you after a stop at the best barbershop in Tampa Bay. Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin is that very place, and they've specialized in the art of men's haircutting for decades. They're located in the Overcash Plaza, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive. Andrew's Master Barbershop, open Tuesday through Saturday. Just call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Are you a writer, inventor? Do you have questions about your intellectual property rights? Well, tune in every Tuesday and Thursday morning at 11 o'clock for Joy on Paper. Once a month, I will have a special guest, the writer's legal eagle, Bill Larson of Larson & Larson, who can answer your questions. Protect your valuable work. Email me your questions to patsy.radio@gmail.com and then listen in every Tuesday and Thursday at 11 a.m. right here on Tampa Bay's Tantalk Radio Network. That's patsy.radio@gmail.com.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on a blustery and rainy and kind of dark Tampa Bay right now. It's cold out there. This is something that Governor Ron DeSantis is pretty upset about. The Florida Department of Health is closing all monoclonal antibody treatment sites in the wake of the Food and Drug Administration's decision to rescind authorization of its use. Two particular treatments. I guess it's called bamlanivimab and etzavimab. They are used in something called Regen, R-E-G-E-N-CoV, or Regeneron. Well, we've heard of Regeneron. In fact, Andrew the Master Barber is with us, and we've talked about Regeneron before. Andrew, Governor DeSantis blasted the Biden administration for clamping down on this. He says, without a shred of clinical data to support this action, Biden is forcing trained medical professionals to choose between treating their patients or breaking the law. In other words, using Regeneron. That's kind of, I got the impression that Regeneron was doing good. Do we have, whoop.
Yep.
Oh, there he is. Sorry, Ann.
I'm here, Paul. Oh, yeah. Paul,
I'm sorry, buddy.
Let me tell you something. It's strictly a political move. The proof is Regeneron saved lives. Many people have come on and said it. Okay?
Yeah, I've heard good things about it.
Very simple. People have had the, they were almost dead. They got the Regeneron, and they're fine. This is strictly political. This guy's got blood on his hands. Okay? Keep letting the people die. This guy wants to see people die. Look at how he's talking about sending 8,500 troops over to Europe.
Yeah, you mean...
Let me ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Putin's got like 150,000 troops there with full armament. What's he sending our troops into, a suicide mission?
Well, first of all, they're not going to go into Ukraine. And I
right.
think...
This is what they're saying, Paul. But you know if they're sending them there, they're going in.
Well, we don't know that they're technically sending them there. Here's what they're saying. They're on standby. You know, it's in other words, I don't know. It sounds like they're trying to do a PYA here. Biden wants to make it sound like, you know, well, we're flapping our wings, but we're not flying, really. You know what I mean? They're doing a standby.
He is flapping his wings, and he isn't flying. This guy needs to go. He's destroying the country. You got open borders. You got videos of them dumping illegal immigrants off in different cities. Okay, you've got the press secretary sitting there saying, "Well, how do you like working for President Biden?" I love working for President Obama. I mean Biden. Okay, so you know who she's dealing with.
Yeah.
Okay, enough is enough. Obama had his turn. What the hell is he doing running this country through the moron?
Yeah, even the liberals, if you were listening to some of the shows, Meet the Press even came up. You know, Meet the Press with that liberal that hosts that program.
Saying that
Biden is not up to the job.
Well, you know what? The people need to get rid of him, Paul. You know what I can't wait to see? This weekend, you got the moron Trudeau and the moron Biden telling the truckers that they got to have the shot to go across the border. Well, this weekend, there's 50,000 truckers going to meet up at the border, and guess what? They're not moving.
Yeah, it's a mess. Everything that Biden is touching turns to manure. I mean, he just doesn't seem to have it. He has a tin ear on everything, it seems to me.
Paul, the thing is, it's not Biden. It's not Biden. It's Obama and all the cronies that run with him and Biden, okay? Obama's pulling the strings. Don't let anybody tell you no. Biden is too freaking stupid to know what the hell is going on.
He does seem out of it. He does seem
out of it. The guy's a refried bean, and I believe the people that voted for him are double-fried refried beans.
Well, a lot of them are very regretful that they voted for this guy.
They should be, but regret doesn't do anything, does it? It doesn't cure the problem.
No.
Regret.
No, you're right, it doesn't.
It's stupidity, and they need to learn their stupidity. They may be called stupid right to their face so they know what they did and put it in front of them what's going on.
But Biden does...
going to get us into a war, Paul.
Yeah, But let's give let's not completely hold Biden claimless because he's a, you know, he's a cognitively challenged. He knows darn well about the southern border. He knows what's going on with the transport of those single men all over the country, dropping them off at airports, putting them on airplanes at government expense, flying them left and right all over the place. He knows about that.
The Republicans going after this stuff. The only Republican I know going after this stuff is Ron DeSantis. Going against, and the Republicans don't have the guts to stand up to this.
I agree with you in one case, in one situation here. They need to stand up as a cohesive group and say we've got to stop this. And you're right. There is a lot of them that are pulling their punches on it. I agree with you.
They need to motivate the American people. The Republican Party needs to motivate the American people to go against this treasonous government.
By the way,
they're not doing their job.
Speaking of people that should be taken out of office, Pelosi.
Oh, here we go. I know. I knew that was coming.
Your good friend Nancy Pelosi says that she will seek re-election in this year's midterm. Now, she's going to turn 82 years old in 2 months. She had previously vowed to step down after the 2022 election, but apparently she wants to keep going. Your comment on that wonderful woman.
My comment is, I pray to the Lord he takes her. There's my comment, Paul.
Okay.
Her time is up. Be it in the government or here on earth, she needs to go.
Who is more befuddled, Pelosi or Biden?
They're all Pelosi, Biden, Schumer, Obama. Who else you want to know about?
Well, I'm talking about being befuddled. Obama doesn't seem as befuddled as the rest of them, but yes.
Oh, he's dumb like a fox, that one. He wants to bring this freaking country down. He didn't do a good enough job when he was president. Now he's the backside president, and he's taking it all, buddy.
Mm-hmm. So do you think that getting back to the monoclonal Regeneron situation, do you think that in spite of Biden and the FDA, do you think that Regeneron will be continued to be used by medical people here in Florida?
I certainly hope so, Paul.
Yeah.
Because if not, there's going to be a lot of people who'll die in Florida.
Yeah, I don't see any harm in it. I remember Trump bringing up.
Well, here, listen. They said, "Well, we don't know enough about Regeneron. We don't know. We know it has side effects." Well, guess what? So does your damn shot. You know nothing about the shot. It's got side effects. You can't sue the companies making it. So you tell me, Paul.
Yeah, I agree with you. No, I agree with you.
It's disgusting what's going on. The people in this country should be up in arms.
Yeah.
I think Biden ought to send his son Hunter with his crack pipe over to the Ukraine. That's what I think. Why don't you send your son instead of us sending our kids over there, you moron?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's such a mess. That Ukrainian situation, and people are talking about, they used to talk about how Putin or Trump was in league with Putin, right? Well, the family, the Biden family is in league with Moscow, and in league with Ukraine, in league with China. My God.
That's right. But why aren't we doing anything about it? Why aren't they investigating these SOBs, Paul?
Yeah.
Why aren't they being investigated? Oh, because they're Democrat. Let's let it go. Mm-hmm. Are the people that stupid we're going to put up with this?
I think that, I don't know, you know.
The people are on edge, Paul. Every day, people are on edge. And this is only going to go on so long before the people take Washington down themselves, believe me.
Yeah. Well, we got November coming up, but it's getting a lot closer. What, another 9 or 10 months, and get some of those people out of there?
Let me tell you,
I don't think. Go ahead.
I hope this country can last 10 more months with what's going on.
Yeah.
But as we speak right now, Russia has got a nuclear submarine off of the east coast of the United States,
floating around there somewhere.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And he's waiting. He already told. Listen, I was reading articles. I don't know how true they are or not. But he told Biden, you mess with us, we're going to hit the mainland, USA. And you know what? This is what this country needs.
We need somebody to
wake up.
No, I don't think we need a nuclear shot from Russia.
Paul, we're getting really close, Paul.
Yeah. No,
Biden is the one egging it on. It's all Biden's fault egging it on, buddy.
What would you do if you were in control in the White House After you heard that Putin was planning on assembling 200 and some thousand troops along the Ukrainian border, and he says, you know, that he's thinking seriously of doing something to the Ukraine, what would you do? What?
Well, very simple, Paul. You know, Europe is another continent with a bunch of countries. You call it your Euro nations or whatever. You know what? Let the Euro nations take care of it. Mm-hmm. Leave our kids home. They should be guarding our borders. He's worried about the Ukraine border? What the hell are you doing with ours, you idiot?
Yeah. I think a lot of people feel that way. I was listening to, I listened to C-SPAN, and they were talking about the Ukrainian border situation, and a bunch of people said, well, why aren't we talking about the southern border that we've got? Isn't that more important? As far as protecting, why are we worried about protecting somebody else's border when we can't seem to protect our own border? You know, they made good sense. And people are much more concerned about our border.
Europe needs to handle their own problems. We got our own problems here. Let Europe handle theirs over there. Mm-hmm. You got Germany, France, Italy. You got all these countries. Let them take care of their problems. They're their neighbors. We've been taking care of the world long enough. We've got proof we can't even take care of our own country now. Mm-hmm. Are we going to take care of these people?
Well, you're right. This is a legacy from World War II. And, of course, the NATO, we're part of NATO. We're the only country that's not in the European group that's in, if I'm not mistaken. All the NATO countries are over there in Europe, and here we are over here by ourselves.
That's what I'm saying. Let them take care of it.
I think Ed's got something he wants to say. Ed.
Well, we're once again seeing true hypocrisy at its best. Here you've got Biden telling Russia, do not invade the Ukraine border, yet we can't even protect our own.
Yeah. It's not only hypocritical, it's strange. It's bizarre.
Maybe Russia should come through Mexico. Go through the United States.
It'd be easier to penetrate our border than the Ukrainian border.
And then go over to Ukraine somewhere. I don't know.
Might be easier to come across our border. What do you think, Andrew? You think the Russians could come across our border better and easier than they could the Ukraine border?
Why would they want to come here now? You got to be kidding me. They're better off where they are.
You're probably right.
They get funding. They can get funding. Biden will give them a grant. We'll give them funding.
We could put these different Ruskies on planes all over the country.
Put that in one of their packs coming up.
Yeah.
Hey, let me ask you guys a question. Have you ever seen anybody running around yet with a Biden T-shirt on or a Build Back Better hat? I haven't.
No. I haven't seen any Build Back Better. Now, I must admit, during the election, there were a couple of Biden yard signs.
Well, I got to tell you, there's one Biden sign as you go towards Edgewater Drive, and that's been there since the election, and just recently, it's missing.
Yeah, I stopped my car and
maybe it blew down.
No, I stopped my car and I pulled the damn sign up and I threw it into the Gulf. Right. No, but I do know what you mean. I take that drive.
Yeah,
I don't know where it went. Maybe the guy finally gave up and realized. Whatever it was he was hoping for didn't come through.
He had to. The only ones that I know really love this progressive stuff, you could see them. They got the purple hair, pink sneakers. They look really freaky people. Those are the only ones.
Pay my rent, pay off my school loans.
There you go.
Oh, by the way, Andrew, would you please wish Big Ed a happy birthday? Tomorrow is his birthday.
Oh, Eddie, happy birthday, buddy. Oh,
thank you.
You come in, your haircut's on the house.
There you go. Very generous of you. By the way, how is your delightful wife, Nicole? Is she doing better on all of this?
She's in hibernation right now because of her hair. So
okay.
She will not leave the house.
Has she gone to a doctor to talk to him? We're talking about she's had a hair loss situation, and they might attribute it to the COVID treatments.
It's guaranteed. Mm-hmm. There's no question about it. Like I told you, I've had 8 clients come in all losing their hair from the COVID. Now, I don't know if it was from the lack of oxygen when they were breathing that killed the follicle a little bit. Or if it was from the medications they gave them, which was ivermectin. Every one of them had ivermectin that was treated. So I don't know if it was that or the oxygen.
Now,
I tell you, with my experience of cutting hair, if you look at an elderly person that's on 10 and 15 prescriptions a day, their hair looks like cotton candy.
Yes, I've heard that.
The medication that's causing it.
Yeah. Has she gone to a doctor to discuss
no.
this symptom?
Why would she do that? I'm the one with the hair experience.
Well, you are.
Doctor.
True.
You got to take vitamin E, which is full of creatine, which is what your hair and nails are grown from.
Okay.
And I told her your hair is going to grow an average of a half an inch a month, and you'll see the healthy hair coming out underneath the damaged hair, and you can already see it.
Good. So it's growing back for her.
Well, you would know, Andrew, so when I come in, I think mine's the opposite. I think my hair has grown faster and longer, and I think I've got it's gotten a bit darker. I mean, you can look and see.
He's getting younger.
No, there is a difference.
From the beer. Ed, that's from the beer.
That's
from the football games.
It's all that yeast and barley that you imbibe. Well, listen, thank you so much, my friend. Our best to you, our best to Nicole. She's in our prayers, of course. And we will talk again on Friday.
And maybe we'll still be here. Let's see what happens.
Oh, my God, I hope so.
Are you going to push the wrong button?
Oh, God spare us.
Thinking it's room service.
God spare us. He might hit the red button now that I think about it.
Thinking it's room service. And I can see it already.
He wants to, you know, he was accidentally pushing the button because he wants his warm milk at night. Okay. Thanks, Ed. All right,
friend, you take care.
All right, buddy.
Bye-bye.
Bye. He's very concerned about things, is he not? All right. Let us take our final break. And when we come back, is the vice tightening on Anthony Fauci and a cover-up on the start of COVID-19?
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Guys, a well-groomed appearance is the first thing people will notice about you after a stop at the best barbershop in Tampa Bay. Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin is that very place, and they've specialized in the art of men's haircutting for decades. They're located in the Overcash Plaza, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive. Andrew's Master Barbershop, open Tuesday through Saturday. Just call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets. From animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune in to the show on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back for the final segment of Freedom Works on a Wednesday, and we thank you so very much for being with us. By the way, Ed, we have been invited, or I have been invited, to co-host The Voice of Reason tomorrow. I may have to do it by phone with Ed Golley. Joe Reinhart and Ed Golley are co-hosts of The Voice of Reason every Thursday here on the Tantalk Radio Network, 10 to 11 a.m., and I guess Joe is going to be off. And Ed thought, who else? Who else could I call to co-host with me that would be intelligent, smart, handsome, and all the good things? So he called me. So we'll see about that. But you won't be here, Ed. You're taking the day off. And that's not good. I was hoping you would be here, too. You could kind of bolster my side of the argument. But no, you're going to be out. I don't blame you. I don't blame you. All right. So Anthony Fauci, you know, the more this whole Wuhan laboratory debate continues, the more Fauci seems to be involved in maybe a cover-up. Republican leaders on the House Oversight and Judiciary Committees have released emails they say reveal that Fauci knew that the virus may have been intentionally modified and leaked from the Wuhan lab. Now, in a letter to the HHS secretary, Xavier Becerra, Congressman James Comer of Kentucky, Jim Jordan of Ohio, pointed to a 2020 conference call that included Fauci and the NIH director, in which the origins of the virus were discussed. And it's, they say it was on this call that Fauci and the NIH director were first warned that the virus may have leaked from the lab and further may have been intentionally genetically manipulated. The congressman said, it's unclear if Fauci or the NIH director ever passed this warning along to the government. And anyway, they go on to say that that there was a lot of concern at that time that it did come from the lab, and that they realized that they needed to cover it up, kind of push it down rather than expose it. Now, Fauci's got a direct financial interest, apparently, in the Wuhan lab. So you can see where he might want to get this thing out of the lab and into the wet market. Very, 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 I don't know. I've always admired Rand Paul for pushing as he has. He's suspected Fauci's been involved in a cover-up from the beginning. And I think good for him.
You know, they launched an investigation for everything else.
Yeah.
But they went,
I think
this
is important. Yeah. I think this is important.
I mean, if they could tie him to that, geez.
I think they might.
Hang him by his toenails.
Yeah. Yeah. I think he's in a very precarious position.
I mean, the,
right?
The world should hang him by his toenails. Because it didn't just affect the United States.
I agree.
This affected the world.
How can you look in the mirror in the morning if you are covering up something that has killed this many people, affected the entire world?
Because when he's
not
done looking in the mirror, he looks at his bank account.
Yeah. That's what I'm thinking, that over all of the time that he's been involved, he's been there for a long time, that your conscience leaves you, you know? It leaves you, and you actually can, what's the word? You can convince yourself that you are doing the right thing, even when you're covering something up, you know? Anyway, before we get to our top 10, Ed, I want to ask you, because it's an ongoing question, I'm becoming very concerned that we might lose our quarterback with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, because he apparently is even talking with his wife now about whether or not he's going to come back. Talk about Tom Brady.
He talks to his wife every
year.
I hope
he talks to his wife.
No, every year they have the discussion. But look, this year is different from last year because he's going to wait and see how hard the Bucs work to get players back that are up for contract renewals and could possibly go somewhere else, or a plan for free agency to get free agents in here. He's going to wait and see. And that's the thing I would do. And if it's not there, he walks away. Just like when New England said that they were going to restock and they never did. You remember that big thing, the draft, that they went and drafted some defensive back instead of giving him wide receiver help or whatever? That was enough.
To send Tom Brady on his way.
Yeah, to pack it up and not renew his contract. So, you know, I think he's going to take probably a good month or so. But I think they probably know a pretty good chance whether he's staying or not. My gut feeling says he's probably staying.
I think so, too.
Yeah, but you know, also Gronkowski, or tight end Rob Gronkowski, even said, I need a month or so to decide, because if you're going to ask me for an answer today, I would tell you I'm retiring.
I would think that Brady and Gronkowski kind of are a pair. You buy one, you get one.
Yeah, and you know they'll probably hang out for the next month and decide it, and you know then they'll go back to the Bucs.
They both
and see,
stay or both go together.
Yeah, and they'll see, you know, what the Bucs' plan is, and I have faith in the Glazers to give them what they want, you know, to keep them here.
Yeah. Okay. So. Very good. Top 10 least corrupt countries Ed, we've actually got both the most corrupt and the least corrupt. We thought we'd do the least corrupt. This is from Transparency International, 2021 Corruption Perception Index, which measures the perception of public sector corruption according to experts and business people. Now, they've ranked 180 countries and territories on a scale of highly corrupt, which is zero, to very clean, which is 100, okay? Okay, so these are the least corrupt countries. Number 10, Germany. Germany has got an 80 point out of 100 in being very clean, okay? Number 9, not far away, Luxembourg. 81 points for Luxembourg is like Monaco. It's just this little sliver of a country. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Well, that's why
what the heck they do
they
there.
They don't have enough politicians to be corrupt yet.
Have you ever driven in a Luxembourg?
No.
Okay. Number 8, Netherlands. They got, all they got is water and all the Dutch stuff, don't they? Mm-hmm. But they're at 82 points. Number 7, the cuckoo clock country, Switzerland.
Yeah, that was my
choice.
Well,
I hope, yeah, as being the least corrupt.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, Switzerland's always got a good reputation. They also got a lot of banking going on over there. Okay, now we have a tie here. The next one is three countries tied, so we're going to say number 4. First one we're going to mention is Sweden. Sweden's got 85 points out of 100. The Swedish are apparently very trustful. Also, Singapore. Singapore has got 85 points as well. Now, they're always worried about the encroachment of China. Mm. But they are so far so good. And also, Norway. You know, up there near Sweden.
Mm-hmm.
Norway's got an 85 point out of 100. So they're doing very well. All right. Now, Ed, we have a tie, a three-way tie for number 1. So if you can get any of these three countries, I'm going to give you a gold star. Mm. You want to guess what?
Let's see.
What number 1?
No, because I thought Switzerland had it. So I'm out now. I don't know who.
Well, can
I? Unless it's some tiny little country, you know, where there's 50 people and two politicians. And everybody knows each other.
You know, the smaller the better, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, you might be right about it. Well, here they are. New Zealand, which is a small country, you know, it's just
pretty good size.
Off the southern tip. Yeah. Well, I always look at New Zealand as a long island.
Yeah.
You know, it's off Australia there, but they've got 88 points and they're tied for number 1, New Zealand. Also Finland.
Mm-hmm.
Nor, you know, near up there in the North European area, Denmark, Sweden, Finland. They've got 88 points.
Mm-hmm.
And also Denmark. So for some reason, Denmark and Finland and Norway are three of the top 4 most trusted, least corrupt countries. I wonder if it's the cold weather, or what do you think?
I don't know.
Isn't that strange? They're European. Here's what I think. And I should tell you this. The USA was ranked 27th in most least corrupt.
27th out of what, 28?
27th. They get 67 points. 67 points in there. Do you think that they're corrupt that they wouldn't make it in the top 10 or 11 countries?
Probably.
You think? Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us. We will be back Friday. We will also be on Voice of Reason tomorrow. In the meantime, remember, freedom works.